Hey, guys, it's another Sunday night. And so, it's time for another episode of the Brain Love Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dalvina Thomas, a board certified psychiatrist in South Florida. And of course, by now, if you've been listening every Sunday night, every Sunday night since May 2020, I drop a new episode, except for a couple of weeks ago, I had military that weekend. So my episode was a few days late, but I didn't miss a week, man. I did not miss a week. And we're creeping up on Mental Health Awareness Month. That is in May. April is Stress Awareness Month, Alcohol Awareness Month, Financial Awareness Month, all these things. So it gives us an opportunity to really talk about, or to, I should say, hone in more on certain topics that maybe we don't talk enough about. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I have a lot of goodies for you. And I'm ending April with a goodie as we go into May. I have a special guest on the couch, but before I introduce her, I just want to tell you a couple of things. I want to include a few health tips for you because I think we're getting away from a healthy lifestyle. Some of us, we're noticing that cancer rates are higher than ever before. Younger people are being diagnosed with colon cancer and breast cancers and different types of cancers. And people are like, why are these rates going up? Why are they rising? And a lot of times it's our diet, what we're eating. In America, we eat a lot of processed food, so that has a lot to do with it. And so I just want to give you 15 snacks for a healthy gut. And listen, I'm waiting right now to get my second colonoscopy. I had one colonoscopy. They found a couple of polyps, but supposedly the polyps were benign. And I'm saying supposedly, well, I should say they were benign and just claim it because I know God is going to take care of all things. But I was told that they were benign. The thing is, I was just talking with some of my line sisters yesterday, and happy Deltaversary to full deck. My line sisters, this is year five for us. Five is a vibe. We were talking yesterday about some of our health challenges, and we all acknowledge that we are at the mercy of the physicians who take care of us. And so at times we have to advocate for ourselves to ensure we get the care that we know we need and we deserve. So advocacy is important. And the guest tonight is going to talk about her life and how she's been advocating for certain groups of folks. But before we get to that, here are the 15 snacks for a healthy gut, man. So eat these snacks on a regular basis. You want to have regular bowel movements. You want to get that old stuff out of your intestines, out of your body. You don't want that stuff sitting around. And number one, pistachios. I love pistachios. They are an excellent snack choice because they're portable. You can pair it with different ingredients. They're rich in fiber. They contain 10% insoluble fiber and 0.3% soluble fiber by weight, which is very important for our gut and for the health of our intestines. They also help in maintaining the integrity of the intestinal barrier, regulating inflammation in the digestive tract. And so, you can mix it with things like raisins and apples, which apples too are a very gut-friendly food. So apples, you can put some peanut butter on your apple slices or on your apple, and that goes a long way as well. Having a fermented yogurt drink is also considered healthy for the gut. I'm not doing that because I don't like yogurt anymore. I don't do the dairy except for cheese. I got to get away from the cheese. But having a fermented yogurt drink is also considered healthy for the gut. Avocado toast is healthy for the gut. It's recommended that adults consume 28 grams of fiber per day. Avocados are rich in fiber. They contain 9.25 grams per 136 grams of avocado. So basically, that's a medium-sized avocado. I love the little small green ones. That's my favorite avocado. So eating an avocado a day can help you meet your daily needs for fiber. Having an apple, grabbing some pistachios. Also, I mentioned the peanut butter too to put on that apple. Having oats. Overnight oats are easy to make. They can be mostly consumed at breakfast time, but you can snack on them throughout the day. So oats contain a soluble fiber called beta-glucan. This is readily fermented by bacteria in the large intestine. This fermentation process produces what's called SCFAs that benefit the gut in many different ways. My other favorite is chia pudding. Chia pudding are packed with nutrients that may help improve your gut health. 1 ounce of chia seeds provides almost 10 grams of fiber. So if you have a serving of chia seeds, if you got that avocado, if you have some oats in there sometime throughout the day, maybe sprinkled on your salad. If you have some pistachios, you are almost meeting your daily need and you've only had four or five things. Greek yogurt, skip. That's if you like yogurt and you do dairy. My other favorite for being gut healthy are berries. I love blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. They are rich in fiber and vitamins, as well as strawberries, but I'm not a strawberry person. I'm not a fan of strawberries. But these berries are rich in fiber, vitamins, minerals, anti-inflammatory plant compounds that impact your gut health. And so having berries on a regular basis, and you can mix it with some nasty cottage cheese. That's not me, folks. I ain't doing a cottage cheese. And another one, hummus. I love hummus. I just had hummus yesterday during my Deltaversary celebration. Hummus, some people dip some carrot sticks and some celery in that hummus. I had some multigrain tortilla chips that I was dipping in the hummus. I love it. I'll put pretzels in hummus. Having green salad with salmon is number 10. Collagen matcha latte is number 11. So collagen is what helps with this matcha latte. Collagen contains is really good for gut soothing. Collagen is a type of fiber, I'm sorry, type of protein that can be mixed into hot and cold drinks. And studies have shown that supplementing collagen may help support the health of the gut barrier. I take collagen supplements. So my collagen supplements are courtesy of Titus, Titus Unlimited. He has a line of different vitamins and supplements. I already mentioned strawberries, lupini beans, kiwis, and number 15 is edamame. So thank you for listening to that. I hope you guys incorporate or include these things in your diet. Let's get started with the show tonight. I have G right here. Hey,
Hey,
are you ready to take the couch?
I'm definitely ready. Looking forward to it.
Perfect. And I'm so glad you're here because tonight you're talking about a topic that a lot of Black folks avoid. We try to avoid this topic. I think oftentimes we're so busy being judgmental that we miss helping one another. So I want to be able to tease out not just, pardon me, not just what you're doing in your groups and in your projects, but also why it's so important to our community. So, guys, G. Wright is an LGBTQ advocate and a writer. She's a co-founder and executive director of the nonprofit Blink. Blink is BLINC and stands for Black LGBTQ Liberation Inc. I feel like I missed something in there.
You got that. You got it all right.
Okay. All right. So G has been partnering with her pal Nick Harris to produce the Thou Art Woman, which is an event series since 2014, man. So give it up. Yes, 10
Yeah.
years. They would later find Blink to expand their work and have a greater impact in the community. While you're listening to this, if you're not on your Peloton, if you're not exercising, if you're not out walking, let's say you're sitting at your desk, please go to blink.love to learn more about Blink as you're listening to this interview. Again, that's B as in Bravo or Black, LINC dot love, LOVE. G was recently selected to be a member of the 2023 Maven Leadership Cohort. She has also been recognized by the South Florida Gay News Out 50 list and with the Florida Diversity Council's LGBT Leader Award. She has a memoir in progress and award-winning articles. G's writing primarily explores her Jamaican American identity and culture, which I'm so happy that you include that you're Jamaican American
Yes.
in your bio, G, because we all know from back in the day with Jamaican music that in Jamaica, it's not permissible to live an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, there's challenges with it. It's getting better, but yeah, definitely not so welcoming of our community.
Yeah. So three of her articles published by Island Origins Magazine were recognized by Florida Magazine Association's Charlie Awards. She received her BA in Black Studies, that's what's up, and psychology, so in Black Studies and psychology from Amherst College, and has a JD from Pace University School of Law. She practiced law for over 20 years, and she does not look like it, y'all. She does not look like she has been
Thank you.
practicing for over 20 years, and most recently worked as a law professor. There's so much more I can say about her, But let's get on the couch and get this conversation going, 'cause reading the rest of her bio, and I'll interject some of the bio as we're going along, folks. But if I stay on the bio, that's going to be another 10 or 15 minutes. Welcome to the show, G.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Delvina. Great to be here.
Yes. And I want to say this about you. I met you in person at one of my Brain Love events, and now you're on the Brain Love podcast.
Yes.
And you had an event recently on mental health. So was it about mental health in the alternative or the LGBTQ community, or was it mental health? So it was specific to the LGBTQ
So
community.
it was specific to the black community. We called it Awareness to Action, Unmasking Mental Health in the Black Community, and then we centered LGBTQ folks. So our panelists include folks who are Black, African American, Caribbean American, and LGBTQ plus.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. And before I go any further, I just want to say what we have in common is we both have sons. I have one son, you have two adult sons. I have an adult son as well. And kudos to
Okay.
your son who's serving in the US Navy. Thank you to you and
Thank you.
to him for his service.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I miss him, but I know he's doing great work. And when he comes home, it's like, yeah, so great to have him here.
Yeah, so where is he stationed?
He's stationed in San Diego.
Okay, all right, that's
Yeah.
what's up. So, when we were talking offline before we started this interview, in your bio it says, although she does not look it, G has two adult sons, one serving in the United States Navy. And I said to you, why would you say you don't look it? You look like a woman. So I just assumed, and this is what people do. And so, hey, I want to flesh this out. I assumed that you meant because you are in the LGBT community, that someone would look at you and think, okay, she doesn't look like she could have boys because she's not looking like she would have given birth to children, or because she's lesbian, she wouldn't have had any kids. But you meant because you're so young looking.
Right. So, and not to be like, oh, conceited, but generally when I tell folks that have kids, they're like, oh, how old are they? And they imagine like little 5 and 8 year old kids. And I'm like, oh, they're about to be 27 and 23. And they're like, wow. So that's what I meant. And so I know people can't see me, but I'm masculine presenting. So yes, some folks may think I'm a man, but it wasn't to do with that. It was just to do with how I present in terms of age. So sometimes I tease and say I'm young presenting, because I'm 51. I'm excited to be 51, but people think sometimes I'm in my 30s. They say black don't crack. So,
I was just about to say that you do not look 51, my dear. So that is what's up. And so, guys, we are already know her pronouns. So if you're like, he you ask her pronouns, I know her pronouns.
see her.
And yeah, so at times it's, I think people have to have some grace with that, because if you don't share with someone, I'm just saying this as an aside, what your preferred pronouns are, how do you expect someone to know it, especially if it's over the phone? So I know there's this thing where some people encourage everyone to ask, what are your pronouns when you get on the phone? Do you have certain pronouns, or would you like for me to refer to you a certain way? And I think the community is still getting adjusted to that.
I mean, so I use she, her pronouns. I do receive and accept all. So if someone is like uses he, him, I'm okay. The only way I correct people, if I'm gonna spend time with somebody and sometimes someone might think I'm a man, then I'm gonna let them know I'm actually identified as a woman. I'm a woman, but I don't feel offended. I have a fade. Say, like, I always go to my barber every week. I wear a suit and tie and stuff like that. So I understand, but there are folks who look just like me who may be offended. So this is just specific to G and how I feel. And I have lots of grace for folks because this is also more recent, and the way things move with the LGBTQ community, before you know it, this might not even be as important as it is now. Just like how, as a Black person, once upon a time we were Negro, then, Afro-American, African, similar for LGBTQ, that we're evolving, ever evolving.
Yeah, man. Yes, absolutely. And I would like to ask you something that we didn't discuss previous, but it just popped into my brain right now. How do you feel? You mentioned that you'll wear a suit or a shirt and tie. How do you feel when you when you wear that versus wearing, let's say, a dress? When was the last time you wore a dress? I'm so
So,
sorry, but I gotta ask
no,
you
that's
this.
fine. No, I'm an entire open book, so it's all good, all good. So, I always hated dresses, always. As a little girl, did not want to wear them. So I was able to be a tomboy, which was great. But then at some point in my 20s, I got married to a man and had a that's where I had my sons. And I wore
Stop,
like a
stop,
wedding
stop.
dress and
Oh, 1 second. So when you were in your 20s, you said you married a man, and you guys conceived your sons. So when you got married in your 20s, up until that point, you hated dresses. Did you, had you, well, I suppose you didn't embrace who you were sexually yet because you married a
No.
man. Were you ambivalent about your sexuality at that time when you married your
You know,
husband?
I was not aware really. Like, I had anxiety and deep down, like, I was actually homophobic. Like, I'm like those folks where they're like, oh, against the LGBTQ community and all this stuff. And really, that person's gay. Like, that was me. I was very much against it. You
Wait,
talked about
you
like
said you were
Jamaican.
homophobic?
I was homophobic. Yeah.
Couple of questions. So up until your 20s, all right, you said you were homophobic. I guess you didn't understand the lifestyle.
Yeah. So I don't, I just will pause. We don't want to say like lifestyle because it sounds like it's something that people make a decision about. When we say like alternative or lifestyle, it's just more like this is who I am,
Thank
right?
you for
So,
that. Thank you for
cool.
that.
Yeah, sure.
So, okay. But up until your 20s, your life was, you were identifying as being heterosexual.
Yes.
And then something happened when you realized that I'm not happy in this life being married to, I don't know if it happened while you were married to your husband or if you guys divorced for other reasons. And then later in life, you realize I'm
So
really.
I can tell you. So what happens, it actually ties to mental health, is that I was suffering from panic attacks. And so when I had panic attacks, it was like the thought going through my mind that what if I'm gay? So things would come up, like I would maybe think about a woman or dream about a woman, but just a feeling like I was always a tomboy and that was fine and acceptable, but it was like being gay is not acceptable. And I definitely didn't want to be gay. So I started suffering from panic attacks and then had to get mental health care to help me get through this, like what's going on. And in that journey, realize like, hold on. So I'm getting these feelings of anxiety and panic because I'm afraid that I'm gay. And that's what takes me to really start like dealing with like mental health and having to deal with like recognizing I am and recognizing that I need to accept myself. I didn't want to be here. I felt like it was so bad to me to be gay. I felt like I'd rather not be here. So I did have my own like mental health journey. And this is while I'm like a young wife, young mom, and in law school, 20 something years old.
Thanks for explaining that. Wow. So do you recall ever being attracted to women when you were like an adolescent or in your early, in your teens or late teens? Or were
No,
you
not.
pushing it away?
I was pushing it away. I was pushing it away. I know in college, like I had a crush on a girl, and I just definitely would not ever accept that to myself. Like I didn't tell anybody. And then I was kind of like, I would like be meanish sometimes to a girl, like how like a fifth grade boy would be mean to a girl. And it's like, oh, that means that he likes her. I had some of that sometime. I'd be a little mean. And it was more just like, I like this girl. But I could never, I was nowhere close to like the world we're in now where we have social media and you see like girls together and boys together and all this stuff. Like I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I didn't see the things that I was. I couldn't imagine it. I didn't see it, you know? So we didn't have kids in high school openly queer and all of this. So yeah, I didn't imagine it at all. So, but in college, I definitely like I knew for sure like I have a crush on a girl. I couldn't tell anybody.
Okay, gotcha. And I so appreciate you sharing this information because I think right away, just that last 5 or 6, 7 minutes, you pretty much addressed two things that people talk about a lot when it comes to the LGBTQ community or population, I'll say. And that is number one, that people are not born gay. That it's a lifestyle that you choose, that you pick. And then the second thing is, I recall I've been seeing things on social media that suggests someone who's, and I know that this isn't, nothing is ever all or nothing. There's a lot of gray, there's a lot in between. But the social media post, or these social media posts, because it's been many, about homophobia. And it basically suggests that folks who are homophobic are likely homosexual or have
Yes,
desires for the same
I
sex.
do see. Yeah, I'm telling you, Dr. Delvino, when I see folks like so adamant against it, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. Because a lot of it is self-loathing, you know, and for people who are heterosexual or mostly heterosexual tend not to be really so concerned, you know. So
Yeah.
it's part of that. I feel homophobia is part self-loathing, and those fears that that person has, phobia, fear. It's about what they have within themselves. I'm
Yeah.
not saying all of the time, but often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for folks, and especially people who are super religious, I think some of them struggle with it because of their firm belief in what they read in the Bible and what they've learned growing up in church. I know what I've learned, but I also am not, I've learned too not to judge people, not to be judgmental, because it's not my burden. It's not up to me. I am not the person who determines what's right and who's wrong. So I think that a lot of people get caught up in that, and none of us really know for sure. We won't know until this world is over, until, and depending on what you believe in, until Jesus
Right.
comes back. And so I have decided not to burden myself with trying to determine, who's right and who's wrong when it comes
Yeah.
to this. And so I know probably some of the church folks and the religious people might be listening to me, and they're like, blasphemy. But I talk to people all the time who live very different lifestyles. With hormonal replacement, now I'm delving into another area. Hormone replacement for folks who believe that they were born the wrong gender. I talk to patients all the time regarding their preferences for hormone. And so, I'm going to move away from that so we have time to talk about Blink. But I just want to say to everyone that we have to love each other. At the
Thank
end
you
of
for
the.
that. And just real quick, I just want to go
Sure,
back a little
please.
bit with the religion because, you know, I grew up in a Christian country. I lived in Jamaica from age 5 to 15. So our public schools are Christian. It's like probably 90 something percent Christian. So when folks talk about Christianity being the reason to be homophobic, it's also a country where people are having relationships outside of a marriage. I mean, having multiple relationships while they're married. So that to me is very hypocritical. Like very hypocritical because I'm like, okay, so you know the average man has a wife and woman on the side, kids on the side, all of this, but then people are up in arms about like someone deciding that they're going to be able to live their life the way they should, right? Live authentically. And then folks get upset about consenting adults. So just saying like if someone's going to say like it's a religion, like let's be consistent. So then follow the religion the way it's supposed to be. That's all I'm saying. But yeah. Okay, but yeah,
Yeah.
let's get into Blink. I'm happy to talk about the organization and the work we do.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I read in the Bible that one sin is not greater than the next. So, all righty. So you're celebrating 10 years of As Thou Art Woman. What exactly is As Thou Art Woman? Break it down.
So Thou Art Woman is an art event series, and we started in 2014, July 2014, as an open mic night. And that's folks coming up and being able to perform from the audience and also having professional performers. And we've centered LGBTQ women and allies. And so we'll have predominantly women performing, spoken word, comedy, dance, music. And it's just been, something that I just should add too is that for the LGBTQ community, women are the ones we have less spaces to connect and to be ourselves. So that's what part of why Thou Art Woman has done so well over the years. So we've always had a great, wonderful audience, and we just have a great time. And so we've been doing Thou Art Woman for 10 years now. We started with the open mic, and then we started doing art exhibitions. So right now, for example, at the Courtyard by Marriott in downtown Fort Lauderdale. you go to the second floor of that hotel, brand new, super dope hotel. We have an art exhibition on the second floor that's been there from December and will run through June. So a combination of just really using the arts to amplify our voice and visibility. And that's what we've been doing for 10 years.
All right, yeah. So yeah, you guys have this art exhibition. It's called From Rain to Rainbows. And then you have an upcoming virtual artist talk on May 7th. Guys, if you look in the verbiage for this episode, there's a link for you to register for that event. And then you have a
Thank you.
closing pool party at the Courtyard by Marriott. I guess it's the same one where you have the art ex exhibit. So Thursday, June 6th, 6:30
Oh,
to
thank you.
9:30.
Yes. So
Okay.
we're really excited and grateful to the Courtyard for hosting us, and it's creating a space for predominantly women. Everybody's welcome. Once you're ally of our community or part of our community, we welcome everybody. But it's just great to have a space where we know like we're centered in that space. So we'll have a DJ and just have a really great time. We always make sure that there's food and refreshments for folks, some complimentary and some for people to buy as well.
Yeah, and art is therapeutic. I talk about music being therapeutic, comedy is therapy, art is therapy. We need so many outlets to help us in trying to balance. I've asked a couple of my guests, what do you do to balance? And it seems like lately everyone's saying, I can't balance. It's impossible. I do so much, but this is what I try to do to keep it balanced, but I'm not balancing right now. That's been the popular response. So as Thou Art Woman celebrates this 10 years, Blink is launching Blink 360, which is a holistic health and wellness initiative addressing the health disparities in the Black community. Which health disparities are you guys targeting?
So we're targeting the ones that are most stigmatized. So there's unfortunately Black folks, as you know well, have many health disparities, and we could just go down the line. But we figure like, why not address the ones that we need to address the most, that they're stigmatized? So we started off with HIV, specifically centering Black women who are disproportionately impacted and then less likely to get care and less likely to know about prevention. And then we sectored mental health. Once again, very stigmatized in our community as Black folks, and then Black LGBTQ folks are even more experience even more disparities. So, through Thou Art Woman, where we do open mic and people are very vulnerable, we decided to like take that same formula and like let's create spaces where people we have fun. Just like your talk that I came to, women and menopause, you're having like a vibe. We do that. We have food, music, alcohol and great conversations and time for people to like network and chill as well. So those are the top two that we're really want to dig into because people don't want to address it. I shared when we had a mental health talk this past Thursday. I talked about like, hey, when I was getting therapy in my 20s, I couldn't let anybody, even more recently, my 30s, I couldn't let people know that I was going to therapy. I hid that I was doing that. And there are many people who won't go to therapy because of, as you know well, because of the stigma. So just having those conversations and having people be more aware of how we can access therapy as well.
Okay. Yeah. So that event I missed recently, that was in collaboration with Trans Inclusive Group. The
Yes.
event was called Awareness to Action, Unmasking Mental Health in the Black Community. What types of things did you guys touch on during that event?
There's so many things that we talked about that I really hadn't heard, and just really focusing on like it really brought to light like how unique Black folks are and how much we need to really center our community as we deal with mental health. That, for example, I could talk about something that came up earlier, spirituality, the church. Some people have felt like, hey, should I not go to therapy because I should go to God? Can you have God and therapy? And people are like, yes, you can. In the mainstream mental health, there is not as much spirituality. And for Black folks on that stage, I felt like, hey, spirituality is a really significant part of who we are, regardless of if it's a Christianity or an indigenous religion. We had someone on the panel who's from Haiti, and she's a voodoo priestess. So, like all these different things that tie in to not necessarily what you're gonna see in what I'm gonna say mainstream. And then talking about things like one of the panelists talked about Emotional oppression that as Black folks that we are not able to express ourselves the way that we should be able to. And this was a Black trans man who talked about, being a masculine person. People might tell like our sons, like, oh, you shouldn't cry. So that things that as uniquely as Black people that we deal with, of course, the fact that our ancestors were kidnapped and enslaved, these are the things that we still carry with us. And then Black excellence, something that we talk about and with pride, but then talk about that's also a lot of pressure for us. Someone from the audience, actually, she was our program coordinator, Dr. Samantha Hacker. She talked about some of her clients who are students feeling pressure from that Black excellence, and especially folks like who are Caribbean or immigrants from other countries, feeling like, hey, if your family did a lot to get to America, so you have to really bring it. You have to be topping everything. And that Black excellence, even though there's a good part of it to be proud, it is just too much pressure. And how do we deal with that? So it was really my first time being in a space where all of the conversation centered like things that I could relate to as a Black person. And
Yeah.
the audience had a lot to share. Even stuff like finding a Black, someone talked about how do I find a Black therapist? How do I find a Black queer therapist? And so on.
Yeah. So two stories came to mind for me as I was listening to you during those last couple of minutes. I'll never forget a case. This happened, I want to say, right before COVID. A young lady, Haitian woman, a young Haitian young woman, she was walking from school and decided to step in front of a train to kill herself. And by the grace of God, she survived. She amputated her leg in the process. And I think the other leg was damaged very badly, so may have had to be amputated too to save her life. But within days of her attempt, they requested a psychiatry consult, so I went to see her, and she admitted to me that she did this intentionally, and she told me she did this because she didn't get straight A's on her report card. She was a junior in high school, and her Haitian father would be very disappointed that she did not perform well because of not getting straight A's. I think she told me she got straight A's and a B, as in Bravo, not D as in Delta. So yeah, that was very profound that this young girl would want to kill herself because she didn't get straight A's.
Yeah, that's a definitely a collective experience and something that I feel like we have to be mindful as we want to celebrate that, oh yeah, we're great in these ways, but we don't want to mandate that we have to be so great in everything.
Yeah, no, it's a learning process. You can't push and pressure your kids.
Yeah, I mean, white folks get to be mediocre in so many ways. It's like, can we do some of that too, please? It's like
We all feel like we can't because you have your BA in Black Studies, and I'm sure you know that we're held to higher standards, and we
We
feel
are.
like for us to overcome, we have to be the greatest, the best in everything. So the other story, I have a patient, a young man, and this is why. Therapy can make or break some people. It can break them when they don't have a good fit in a therapist. If you have someone who has their own hangups with certain, you corrected me, you said don't say lifestyle, but when you have a hangup with how someone identifies, how they choose to be in life, the journey they choose to travel. If you have hangups, you'll never be able to help the person because your own personal hangups will prevent you from talking completely to this person and peeling back layers. So a young man, a freshman in college, was always anxious. And so when you said you had panic attacks, I thought about this too. He was always anxious, had, these intermittent periods of sadness and anger. And his mom brought him to me because she said, I saw your bio. You have a son. I know you can help him. Please help him. He wasn't performing well in college. And so I'm initially he was meeting with one of the other therapists. And then his mom asked me to get more involved. So I got more involved. And one day I just said to him, hey, because I don't ask everyone this in the beginning. I don't say, how do you identify what your sexuality? You know, I don't just plunge into those conversations because I feel like you have to get acquainted with your patient. And you get to learn them over time. There's certain life stories they'll share with you if they're comfortable. There's certain life stories they will share. He hadn't shared any of those stories with me. So one day I said to him, listen, what's going on with you? Are you dating? Do you like men? Do you like women? What's happening? Because there's a hang up here you're not telling me about, and you're not getting better with everything we're doing. You're still struggling. Who are you? And he started to cry. He started to cry. His father is Caribbean. His mother is a Black American. And he told me that he was bisexual and that he wanted to be able to like men. He wanted to like women. And we had a conversation about, well, is it really bisexual or are you homosexual? And we didn't necessarily explicitly use labels, just that, but it was more of a, I think sometimes people identify with bisexual because they feel it's more acceptable. I think this is in some cases, and I know it to be true based on some of the sessions with some of my patients. You know, they claim bisexuality first because then it's like, okay, well, you like the opposite sex too. So, you know, I'm glad you mentioned being able to find therapists who align with a person's needs, because imagine sitting with someone who's closed off to these elements of life.
Exactly. You need to know that someone's going to be affirming of your identities. So yeah, LGBTQ affirming is very, very important to have folks available. So much of us need that care.
Yeah. And it's a shame when it is interfering with a person's happiness and their mental health and
Yeah, I
wellness.
mean, for me, it's funny because in many ways I was very happy because I was enjoying my life with my husband David, who's one of my best friends or my best friend now, and I loved having my little, you have a son, you know how beautiful and miraculous it feels when you have a baby and excited. So there's a part of me that was really feeling a lot of joy, but there's a part of me that felt a lot of anxiety and fear about like it's this. Is this other part of me going to have to manifest, and what is it going to do to my life? You know, and in the end, it being able to be my full whole person brought me much more joy. And, my former husband is married again, has a beautiful wife, and she has kids, and my kids love who I am and that I'm myself. And it's like we're just a different family, and it's a bigger, beautiful family. So it worked out really well. But while I was in the midst of it, I didn't envision that, but being able to go to a therapist and talk about all these fears that I was having, and when the marriage was ending and all that, I don't think I could have done it without being able to get the care of a mental health therapist, a counselor.
Yeah.
So
So p people are asking, did those anxiety attacks stop?
yeah, so I learned how to manage them. I feel like when someone goes like, oh, maybe like I'm an alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic. So I feel like I can never say they'll never come back. But I've learned how to, I think because I've done so much work at accepting myself. And as you can see, the work that I do in the community, it's all centered around like supporting folks in being themselves and creating space for people to be able to be bold and in control of their lives. So thankfully, I haven't had any panic attacks for many years. Sometimes I get a sensation like it reminds me of before it would happen, and I got the tools. So I went through therapy to get the tools to how to just be aware of like what was happening in my body biologically when I had a panic attack, and how I could get myself to not have one. So I'm gonna say they are gone, but I can't say it's gone forever, but I know how to manage. So thankfully it's behind me.
Yeah, we call that anticipatory anxiety. Yeah.
Anticipatory anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it's.
Because it's such a reminder of what you felt before, especially if you've had several panic attacks. We learn, okay, this is what happened before that attack came on. This is how I felt. So once you're able to identify that, when you feel that, then you know, okay, I got to do something so I don't experience this full attack.
Right. And this is something that I feel is so important that I'm talking to you very relaxed about it. I hid this from so many people. Some of my closest friends, Dr. Delvina, didn't know I was going through it. I would be on a date with a woman going through it. And they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Hey, I'm fine. I'll be right back." Go in the bathroom, shut the door, and just try to get through it, go back to the date. Like, I've had so much shame about, like, I couldn't tell people, especially like, here I was, I'm a lawyer, I'm doing well in my life, this and that. And it's like, I don't want people to even know I have this going on. You know, I've had to confess to some people, like, okay, you could clearly see something's happening. I'm going to tell you, I have panic attacks. And I felt that was so much like a sense of like, I'm a weak person. And it's like to be able to accept, like, no, that's just like, I'm human and that I could get help. And I did get help,
Yeah, that's good.
thankfully.
All right. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to include or you would like to share before we get out of here?
So I know you shared for folks to go to blink.love. That's a website you could go to, and you could also go on Instagram. It's blink, BLINC dot love, Instagram, and also on Facebook. And then Thou Art Woman is THOU Art Woman. And we're on Instagram and on Facebook as well. And I just want to express my gratitude to you for doing this show and to doing this work that you're doing in terms of, look, you're beautiful. You're fun, fly, and then you're doing this really important work. And I add those other parts, not just to say, oh, to flatter you, but to say, like, I feel sometimes we feel like health and wellness is something that can be very dry and that we don't want to talk about it. And so you're bringing it, really helping to create this space. And similar to the work that we're doing to create a space, we're like, this is something that is also vital. So just like we have art shows that's fun and art is therapeutical, we can still like shift into this space as well, have fun and really take care of ourselves, you know, take better care. So I really appreciate the work you're doing. And thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And kudos to you. And I, everything you said to me applies to you as well. Thank you for what you're doing in this space. You're well educated. You have a law degree. I mean, wow. So I know you're able to write well and get that money and convince people of, all the things and the services we should have in our community. And I'm so glad you're addressing the population that oftentimes are unheard and not seen. So we have to do better. Guys, I just want to remind you about the Thou Art Woman art exhibition, which is From Rain to Rainbows at Courtyard by Marriott in downtown Fort Lauderdale. I may actually go today. I'm sitting here thinking that it's over June 6th. So get out there, go check it out. And please, if you cannot remember the IG, the Facebook for Blink, please check it out. I have all the verbiage in these social media links in the verbiage. You can click and it'll take you right there. You can click and go to the website. If you have any questions, how can they reach you, G, if they have any questions or they want to assist or be a part of your movement?
Oh, that's a great question. So on the website, there's a contact us space. So that's, and you can also email us at hello at blink.love. And that's blink is BLINC dot love. So
All
yeah.
right, man. So please say brain love.
Brain love.